Well, actually, we're going to talk a little bit about Galatians, not Galoshes, Galatians. It's actually one of my favorite books. I've actually never taught much out of it ever. But it's profound in that it lays the framework for salvation by grace and grace alone. And that's really a lot of what the whole book is about. But I need help. I have an exercise I need some help with. You want to throw that slide up we were talking about earlier? See how it looks up here. I wouldn't get in trouble on this. Did you find it? No, that's not the one. That very first one. Yeah, we'll get that out of the way. You know, I need some help here. I have a tough decision to make. Is it working? There it is. I don't know if you can make it any bigger or not. But I got an email.
Oh my goodness, this is
complicated. I got an email from my Medicare supplement provider. All right, they needed me to fill in some personal information. And so I logged into my Medicare Advantage website, and this was one of the questions they needed me to fill out, my gender identity. And so I don't know if you can help me here, but first one is female, woman, girl, male, the second, male, man, boy, the third one is non-binary, gender queer, or not exclusively female or male. And that's a fun one. And gender female, woman, girl. The other one is transgender male, man, boy, two-spirit, another gender, don't know, or prefer not to answer. And this is actually the first time I've ever come across this, and I thought, this is from Medicare plan. I mean, it's like people mostly 65 and older, right? And I'm like, come on, give me a break. So anyway, I was just wondering if you guys could help me. Well, I sometimes have two spirits. I have a Holy Spirit with me all the time, and then I have my own, you know, old, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I thought that might be a... I could get that. But, Who said that? Mike, you say that? But anyway... And sometimes I'm a man-boy. I've been called a man-boy before. Not a mailman. Just a man-boy. Yeah. Carbon life form. That actually could be. That could actually work. But anyway, it's probably needless to say I didn't even answer the question. But I thought, man, what a world. What a world, right? It's just amazing. And, yeah, well, you can get rid of that. It's almost offensive to see it up there. But I just thought I should have some help with that. And, you know. And the only thing I could come close to, other than what's the actual answer, is, you know, that maybe two spirits. Because sometimes I have two spirits. I have, you know, that, born again. I don't. Did it leave me a space to write? I don't think it gave me. I think it just had other. I don't think it had an option to write my own. But anyway, I'm not. And of all things, I'm a Medicare plan. Yeah, you know. Oh, I thought it might be.
Instead of a comb.
My son, when he was playing rock and roll, used to wear girl skinny jeans. '90s mostly, yeah. Oh, Lord, we need, we're going to start in your word now, Lord. Maybe we need forgiveness for that detour. I don't know. But, Lord, we live in a very confused world. And when things are so plain and so simple, we praise you, Lord, that we can gather, be of one mind, and look into your word today. And ask you teach us, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. As the Kinks said, it's a mixed up, jumbled up, shook up world, except for... anyway. Some of us have too many songs in our heads all the time. And I was coming in this morning, and Nina and I were in the car, and I said, what was that Elvis Presley song? I've been thinking about it, because there's almost a spiritual symbolic here. There's that one where she looks like an angel, she's the devil in disguise. You know, and I thought, there's so many things that we see that really look good, and we've all encountered things that just really looked good, and it turned out to be evil from the devil. So we're going to go to, yeah, you got it right up there. I may just read it off the screen with you, but then they'll see the back of my head in a bald spot. I know, and I'm so vain. That's another song. This is Church of the Name That Tune. Gosh. Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, the church in Galatia. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, our God and the Father, who raised him from the dead. Lays that right up front. In the very first verse, not from men. He's an apostle, but not from men. Wasn't appointed by the Pope or chief rabbi. But through Jesus Christ and God, the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Emphatically again. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Well, don't we just want to be delivered from this present age, this evil? Delivered us from this present evil age. Sometimes I feel like we're right there. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Apostle Paul went to Galatia three times, at least three times. This was written after his third visit there. The first visit was to start the church. That was his missionary trip. And the second visit was mainly to encourage. And the third was basically to come back and rebuke after his third. And we'll get there in a minute. But you can show that other map. Well, I don't have that map. Forget that for a minute. That map wouldn't translate the way I wanted it. Got some gobbled up code and couldn't make it into a JPEG. Galatia is located. Does anybody know where Galatia was in the Bible? Central Turkey. Asia Minor, when you read about Asia Minor, that basically was modern-day Turkey. A lot of people, you know, and for me, it helps to have a geographic snapshot in my head of where things are, right? And so, that's a pretty good hike from Damascus to Galatia. And if you look at all of Paul's journeys, man, that guy, he really wore out some flip-flops. Wow. And so we'll go on a little bit farther here. Go with Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came. Yeah, I've just got it. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. This was a common theme throughout the early church, and I think it's laid out that way so that we will see this common theme that there's always something coming in to try and say, well, you can't be a Christian unless you do this. You can't be a Christian unless you do this. You can't be a follower of Jesus. You know, no, it's not just grace. You can't be just grace alone. You got to add this. You got to add that. And there seems to be always these components that man just is not happy with the fact that faith in Christ alone. What is the Philippians? The grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. For grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, but is the gift of God. So that no one can boast. But we come along and we want to add this and that. So we can boast, I guess. To me, it's one of the more freeing things to know that my faith in Jesus, I bring nothing to the table. I bring nothing to the table but me. And he takes us like we are. The old saying is you don't have to get cleaned up to take a bath. Like so many people think. I have no problem with dressing up, but I grew up in the Baptist church and everybody went crazy on Easter Sunday with the bonnets and the, you know, and everything, you know. And maybe I'm a little too casual in my sloppiness coming to church. But I did put on my preaching boots today. I remember Mom, you know, that was probably the only time I had a little shirt, a bow tie, cute little bow tie that I wore, you know, to church. But I always wondered, why do we do this? Because, you know, I always somehow instinctively the Lord just put it in my head that, in my mind or heart or wherever, that he doesn't look at all that. Maybe I heard a sermon or something stuck in my head when I was a kid that said that the Lord doesn't look at the outward appearance, but the inward man, which is Scripture. And so, where was I? I already read 7, right? But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. There's that looks like an angel song again. Yeah. Thanks, Elvis. Let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel, I did that already, to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, then I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Yes, sir?
Just come as they are.
Yeah. Even the long-haired freaky people, they could apply. They could apply too.
One woman, about 25 people, she was very old, and she take up the carpet. And we can remove the, you know, what the scraping is going to
come. Yeah.
Just one more. I thought the elders, because Chuck had rearranged the chairs in a big circle, and there were all kinds of things he had done that was non-traditional to what they wanted, and what they had expected, I should say.
You know, what is the agenda?
Where did I get to? Okay. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. That's kind of an understatement. But when it pleased God, He separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him, Jesus, among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh or blood and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia, and I returned again to Damascus. And then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him for 15 days. Now, if you go to, we don't have to, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not, if I have time. Acts chapter 9. And Acts chapter 9 kind of validates this whole thing in the Acts of the Apostles. And let's see. I'll just read it. Start with one. Then Saul, that was Saul, Paul was Saul before he was Paul. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were in the way, that's any believers, or called Christians back then, believers were called the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, got the way thing going on there. Not to be confused with the cult of the 19th century. Which I had an encounter with the way. I was... Oh, really? I don't even want to know. But anyway, I had an encounter with them as a young believer, and it's just a large grace that I didn't get trapped into it. I had just gave my life to the Lord. I went down to Fort Worth, Texas to be with some people. I was by myself. I was 18 years old, left home here in Indiana. I went down there, and I found a job, found a little apartment above a garage. I went to the church my brother went to when he was in seminary, and so people didn't know of me. And so I'm in a grocery store getting groceries, and I didn't know that if you just ate hot dogs, that it would eventually get malnourished and sick. And so I did. I don't understand why. I guess there's no real nutrition in hot dogs. I ate a lot of chili dogs. And so I had groceries, and these two girls and these two boys came up to me in the parking lot, and they invited me to a Bible study, and they said something about the way, and of course I didn't know anything about cults. I was a brand new Christian, and anything about it. But their enticement was, we practice, we read Scripture, pray for each other, and we practice free love. And for an 18-year-old red-blooded American boy, that got my attention. And also, about the same time, it was like the Holy Spirit just, you know, the red lights went off everywhere, and it just, you know, and I thanked them and went on my way. But you know, that was my experience. But anyway, the Lord, to look back over my life, and you know, and I'm sure we all do too, and the Lord stood in the gap for us more times than we can count in so many ways. And so, I forgot where I was again. Is that all I got? Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem to persecute the believers. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. You know, you hear people talk about they have a Damascus Road experience. You know, Paul's, this is where it comes from. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Question mark. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he trembled and he astonished and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Yeah, that would freak you out, wouldn't it? And then Saul rose from the ground. When Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. The Lord blinded him. And he was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. I don't think it would have taken that much to get my attention. But I think Paul was a little harder-headed. So he... Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said to him in the vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire." In fact, I think downtown Nashville has a street called Straight. I think it does. Straight Street. Anyway, so the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard much about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And now you want me to go and heal him?" Right? "And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And then it's fascinating too, the fact that the Lord showed him in advance the things that the suffering he'd have to go through. You know, so there's no punches pulled there. "And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell on his eyes something like scales fell from his eyes, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. And then Saul spent some days with the disciples in Damascus. And so we'll go back up here to Galatians. Where did we get to? Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain with him 15 days. So Paul actually went to Damascus, was there just a few days, got saved, went to Arabia for a good while. Not exactly sure how long he was in Arabia. Then he went back to Damascus and preached and was there for some time. Then went to Jerusalem and met with Peter. And that's all kind of lays itself out. So there, I got a map, I think, kind of shows his roundabout. And I'm trying to set a little bit of a groundwork here for Galatians. I'm actually have a plan, which is not common for me to have a plan. So there's Arabia. And Arabia is not, it might be part of modern-day Saudi Arabia, but actually it's just below Damascus, probably in Syria, part of Syria today. But, you know, I always, kind of grown up, I always thought he went to Saudi Arabia, because I'm thinking in modern-day terms, but Saudi Arabia didn't exist then. And so Arabia was actually somewhere below Damascus. Damascus is such a huge, that's an important town. And some of us who follow prophecy are kind of waiting for when Damascus is annihilated, because it's... but that gives you a little bit of an idea of where he was from. Damascus would have been south, I believe.
Damascus, the city, straight east. The word Syria, directly below that.
Yeah, you can see Syria, Damascus. Yeah. So from his conversion to, you can take that down. From his conversion on the road to Damascus to where he went, till the time he went to Jerusalem was roughly 3 years. Interesting thing about, let's see if I can find this. Got too much here. That file didn't open. Just patient, please. Now, Arabia was actually more of a city. He might have been in the desert, but he wasn't really in the desert. It was actually a very affluent area of trade that he went to in Arabia. But I don't know who he hung out with. Nobody really knows, except that he spent time with Jesus that entire time, for the most part. So, let's go back to Galatians. Where were we? Thank you very much. After 3 years, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw no one of the other, none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Which is also fascinating to hear me on. That's another subject, too. The Lord's brother, James. The book of James, the book of Jude. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Sicily, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. It's interesting when you see somebody who was really a vile, hateful person come to Christ, and your first instinct is to not trust that person, right? Oh, yeah, he says he's saved now, but, you know, that's right now in pop culture, there seems to be kind of a movement of entertainers and celebrities and more famous people coming to Christ. And it's really fascinating to see, and I'm thinking about Russell Brand. And I don't know whether Russell Brand is really a believer, but he's fascinating to listen to because he's definitely reading the Word. But yet he has such a shaded past, you know. But it is interesting. And so what do we do as Christians? Do we get cynical and say, oh, or do we, you know, take it at face value and say, I hope he really is a believer. Let's pray for him. Only time will tell. Yeah, but if we as Christians discouraging and poo poo it and everything else, then that's not going to help him. But praying for him will. But it's fascinating to hear some of the stuff that he says, you know. And sure, he sure does like to talk. And with his little video excerpts and stuff, you can tell that he's, you know, I don't know who's even discipling him, but he's. But that's one person that comes to my mind off the top of my head. And I can't think of anybody else right now, but there are others I know that in the celebrity realm seem to be. Those are the ones we hear about. You know, they're no more important than you and I. And that is one of the things that always has frustrated me is that somebody famous dies, and we're, oh, this is terrible. And they are, in the Lord's sight, they are no more important than the lowliest person on the corner, you know. And the Lord doesn't see them as any more significant than any of us in here, just because they've been in the news and everybody's watched them, whether they play music or baseball or they're an actor or whatever they are, you know. They're... You know, and it's wonderful to know that there's no no partiality with the Lord. Yeah. What, Tess? Be careful what I say. Okay. Keep me in line. Went to Jerusalem, went to my relation, communicated them the gospel. Yet even Titus. Which one did I get to? Do you remember? Sorry, I really have a hard time. Oh, we just read through chapter 1. Then we're going to we'll stop there then for a minute. I may not go any farther. Yes, you may.
Okay, so looking at two things we were talking about, you know, people being above or below, recognized or not. Before the flood, 1,600 years of future of history, 1,600 years, and what all it says, except for the names were listed, is men of renown. And then we hear nothing about them. It's like they were men of renown among humans, but then there's nothing said about them. And then the other thing I was thinking of was in Acts when those brothers tried to exorcise demons from someone. He says, in the name of Jesus, who Paul speaks of, come out of him. And the demon said, we know who Jesus is, we know who Paul is, but who are you?
Yeah, that's not a good time. Anyway, I'm going to pick this up later. But, you know, Paul goes to Galatians. And the whole issue with Galatians has to do with the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were Jewish believers who were trying to attach circumcision at that time to a works from the law, trying to attach the law to grace. But, well, yeah, you got to receive Jesus and you put your faith in him, but you need to get this circumcision done too. If you're really going to follow Jesus, you need to do this. And so we run into those kind of dynamics. I don't know if we can take it that far, but, you know, there's certain, you know, church movements and things that say, well, you need to do this, you know, in addition to this. And Paul's really addressing that because these are Gentiles. And the Galatians are Gentiles. And the Galatians are the Celts and the Gauls. And they migrated from, a lot of them migrated east from France in that area and settled in Asia Minor or Galatia or now Turkey. And they were warriors. They were very sophisticated. They had been able to make iron. They'd been able to, you know, found iron, you know, and build weapons, and had beautiful artisan sculptures, and it was a Hellenistic, paganistic culture that he went to, you know. And I don't think any of them big old boys wanted to get circumcised, and they just wanted to follow Jesus. And so, you know, it created a real stir in the early church there in Galatia. But we always have these images in my mind. I always had these images in my mind that Paul went on these missionary journeys, and, you know, there are these little villages, you know, with peasant-type people and all that. But these were actual, very active, full-blown cities and communities with a rich culture of their own, and I'll go into that a little bit more later. I'll go into that at another time. I'm just going to, next time I talk, I'll stay in Galatians, and, you know, next year, next couple of years when I'm asked to teach again, we'll be in Galatians. We'll stop there for today. It's wonderful to know that the Lord takes us as we are. He knows our secret sins. He knows our sins. He knows our struggles. He knows everything about us, and yet he by His Spirit, He encourages, He prompts us, He molds us, He shapes us. And I don't pretend to understand it, but I am sure glad of it. And by grace we are saved, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And that's really what the whole book of Galatians is about. It's foundational to, it's really one of the more foundational books to our faith. And so, any prayer requests before we close up? Anything you need to talk about? Oh, you think they're watching? I would not. If I was on my vacation, I would not be tuning in. You hear that? All right. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to You in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that we don't have to get cleaned up to take a bath, and that You wash us, You wash away our sins, Lord, and you clean us up by Your Spirit and by Your Word. We thank You, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that You be with everyone here this week, Lord, and each one of us are carrying burdens and things that if we poured out all of our burdens into this one big room, it would boggle our minds. The stuff that we all carry. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would learn each day to just cast our cares upon You, Lord, because You care for us. And so many times, Lord, I've just said, Lord, this is a problem, Lord, and I need You to fix it. And that's been so many times my simple prayer. Lord, help, let's fix this. We praise you in Jesus' name. I ask for a blessing on each one here. In the name of Jesus, amen.